This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Toastmasters Podcast. I'm your host, Beau Bennett.
And I'm your other host, Ryan Levesque.
And today we have a fantastic show for you. We are going to be talking about knowing thy culture.
Yes, most professionals, when they travel to another culture to present, know that there are some basic no-nos, some things to avoid. They'll take the time to research. Do I want to shake hands when I enter this meeting? Do I want to bow? There's some gestures I should avoid in order to not offend. There's a little bit more subtle degree of cultural norms and cultural assumptions and beliefs, and that's what we're going to talk about today and how to avoid some pitfalls with that.
All right, and we got something else that's brand new for you here on the Toastmasters Podcast. We are going to try our version of the Word of the Day. And basically what this is Ryan and I have this little tag calendar. What do you call these things? Like the ripoff?
The Word of the Day.
The Word of the Day calendars. That makes sense. And today is Tuesday. Wait, today's Wednesday. You did get the wrong word.
Oh.
Well, it's too late. Well, the word for Tuesday, September 29th, is argot. A-R-G-O-T. And it is an often more or less secret vocabulary and idiom peculiar to a particular group.
So it's a noun.
It's argot. A noun. Right. And our goal is to use it in the interview. All right, let's get into the interview.
We're speaking with Florence Ferreira. She's an advanced communicator bronze and competent leader, a member of Boca Raton Toastmasters in Florida. Florence is a trilingual intercultural communication consultant, the founder of SpeakGlobal.net, and an inspirational speaker and writer. Florence wrote an article entitled Know Thy Culture in the October 2009 edition of the Toastmaster magazine, and that's what we're speaking with her about today. Florence, welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast.
Thank you.
Welcome.
It's an honor.
Now, Florence, I have to confess, I'm a little bit uncomfortable in asking you my first question here. Given that you are an intercultural communication consultant, I'm just a little bit self-conscious about how to word this.
She's such a typical American.
So it's important to our discussion here, I think, to sort of set the stage. But could you share with us a little bit about your cultural background? And by the way, did I ask that question in a politically correct way?
I can't believe you just asked her that. That is so rude.
I know we are stepping into a very delicate field here. It's a minefield, so I'll try to be careful too. First of all, I'm going to tell you about my background, and then I'll tell you why your question, the way you stated it, is already a topic of intercultural communication. I was born in France, and I was the daughter of two parents who were, my father was half Portuguese, half French. My mother was Polish, born in France. So I'm already a blend of cultures. And then my parents traveled for their job. So I was raised between France, Peru, Venezuela, and I also lived here now for 14 years. And when I was young, I came here for a year. So it's I've been traveling constantly between those four countries mainly, and vacationing and speaking and working all over the place. Anywhere I go, I'm an outsider.
Well, let's ask you this. What kind of food do you like the best?
The American food, of course.
You're American. Congratulations.
No, that was a joke. No. I do like donuts, though.
Donuts, the American food.
I do like donuts.
Hey, American runs on Dunkin'.
So they say.
Yeah. But I'd like to say why the way you asked that question is an intercultural topic, because generally when you travel abroad, people hear an accent. They usually ask you, "Oh, where are you from?" And then you start, "Oh, well, I'm from France," and it's. It's something that, as a foreigner, you generally like to hear. The person noticed your individuality, and you have a chance to talk about your culture, yourself, and it's very important, especially when you live abroad, because you miss that kind of conversation.
Sure.
I noticed when I came here that I was very rarely asked this question. People heard my accent, and that's it. And I felt a little annoyed at that. You know, it's like nobody notices me.
They're not interested.
I know.
it kind of becomes your identity when you travel so much, when you live in other countries.
Gotcha.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I guess the bottom line is know thy culture.
Exactly.
The title of the article states.
Well, that's how you know it. Actually, you know it by facing these situations.
Sure.
That's right. So, Florence, I want to go back 13 years ago. You were in the United States for just 6 months, and I understand you attended a business convention in Fort Lauderdale. There was a motivational speaker, and you had some pretty interesting responses or reactions to that presentation. Could you share those with us?
Yes. That was very funny, because I was, as you said, I had not been in the country for long. And although I knew a little bit about the U.S., mm-hmm. but I didn't know anything about speaking, about speakers here. And I have to emphasize that it was a business convention. That's very important. It was a business convention. It was at 8 o'clock in the morning, and this speaker was the keynote speaker, which is also something that is very American, to have a keynote speaker. So I sat there and thinking, well, business is starting. These people are going to talk about, you know, sales or whatever. And so this speaker was motivational, which was also a foreign concept to me. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what I needed to be motivated about. I was motivated, and that's why I was there. I was sitting there at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
He came on the stage, and as soon as he came, as I said in my article, it was like he had won the lottery. I didn't know what he was so happy and so boisterous about.
He was just happy to be alive.
Yeah. And I liked that. I was like, whoa. You know, he woke me up. It was like really, really nice and so confident. And I really admired that. But then he tried to connect with the audience, and he said, so are we having fun? And, you know, screaming and... people responded, yes, you know, and I felt I was very shy to answer, to join, and I didn't feel comfortable. I didn't feel comfortable with that question. I felt like I was at Disney World. Mm-hmm. I felt it was not appropriate. I was everybody was dressed in a suit, and suddenly I felt like we were all acting like little children. And then he asked again, because it was not loud enough, so everybody screamed even louder, and okay. I knew I was the outsider. That's fine. I just kept my mind very open, as I always do. I mean, I'm used to be to face culture shock, so I'm very conscious that I'm the outsider. He started telling his story. His mother was an alcoholic. His father was violent, and he was into drugs and this and that. And it came to me as a shock. I was not ready for that. I felt like suddenly I was in his bedroom or you know,
reading his diary.
And I was extremely embarrassed. That was one thing. And the other thing was the family talking in those terms about your mother and your father. It made me uneasy.
Like dishonorable in a way.
Yes, yes. And this is also, it may be French, especially I spent so much time in Latin America. I'm very, very, I'm as family oriented as anyone there. And I'm not saying he was not family oriented. It's just that there are things that you spend a lifetime hiding in
this
culture.
Yeah, you keep those in the closet.
You know? and so
Dad, a little too much vino. You keep that story to yourself.
Yes, yeah, something like they say here, too much information, right. And then, in the end, the last thing that was a culture shock was that he started selling this product that would change people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was like, I just lost it. I didn't follow at all. I didn't know what he would change me into.
Like a frog?
Yeah, exactly. And why would I need to change? And everybody was so excited about it. And then he started selling products to go. The product was free. It was some CD that was free.
Right.
But then he started selling all kinds of accessories, book tapes, whatever.
Here in the States, that's known as the upsell.
Yeah. Yes. And those were not free. And people were extremely excited. I mean, there was a line. As soon as he finished the speech, everybody was lining up to buy all that stuff that would redouble the changing you.
Right.
And I just was completely lost. And I, as soon as I got home, I went to my dictionary to see what change meant in English. I thought I had missed the meaning of the word change. And I didn't find anything. Change was just like in French or anything. It was to make different, you know, like changing channels, like change. And so I thought, what am I missing here? And it took me years to living here to understand that there is a hidden connotation in the word change that I didn't get at that moment. And the connotation is that here to say I'm going to change or things are going to change, it means that they are going to change for good, no matter what. I mean, right. It's going to be a positive move.
Is the concept of change in personal development, self-improvement, are those concepts that were familiar to you in your culture, but maybe just phrased in different
ways? Right,
it's
just the word. It's the argot, maybe.
Yes. Well, I knew, if you give me context, I understand. And I was familiar with self-development because in Venezuela I did some self-development seminars which were American brought.
Uh-huh.
So if you do a personal development seminar, you're going to be personal, of course.
You know what you're getting yourself into.
Right. I mean, when you go to see Tony Robbins, on the other hand, you know that Tony Robbins, he's a star. You know that you're going to see Tony Robbins. He can do whatever he wants because, you know, that's why you're going, because it's Tony Robbins. It's like going to a Mick Jagger concert, Rolling Stones. You know that you're going to see the Rolling Stones. He can jump on stage. He can get naked. You don't care. That's what you're going to
do. No, I'd care about that. I wouldn't want to see that.
I think what it comes down to is what we do in any speaking context is understanding your audience and, you know, knowing what your audience's expectations are, their needs, their wants, and using that to be a more effective speaker. Florence, there's so much material in this article. We could probably literally go on for hours and hours because this is just such a fascinating topic. But I do want to ask you a question. I understand you state at the end of your article that you actually got to the point of delivering motivational speeches and that you shared one of them with your brother who lives in Paris, and he responded by saying, wow, that's so American.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, you know, you came from a point of being really overwhelmed by the motivational speaking style. Now you're doing it. What is that experience like for you, and why do you think your brother reacted so strongly? What about your speech was so American?
Okay. I didn't get overwhelmed by the motivational style. I got overwhelmed by very specific features.
Okay.
And I don't use those features. I do the motivational style, but I'll never do the screaming, how are you doing today, and so on. You can tell on my tone that I actually tend to mock that.
Uh-huh.
Because I can't relate to that. So I do the motivational speaking. Yes, I do the humor and things that I love, like, you know, starting with humor and so on. Things that are very typically American that I love. I do a lot of American. I do apply some American styles.
Do you shame your family?
Everything. No, I don't shame my
I didn't
family.
Think so.
No, I don't shame my family. But I shame my brother when I say that. So I'm going to really be explicit on what I meant about my brother, because I really don't want to shame him. My brother has traveled as much as I have, so he's not prejudiced. He loves cultures as well as I do, and he's not prejudiced about Americans either. When he said that, he meant it because he read the speech, and he found that it was indeed very American. Mm-hmm. And he said that even Al Gore, he loved the movie,
An Inconvenient Truth,
and he said he loved it. And most French people loved it, but they know it's Al Gore, and they know that it's American, and they're ready for it, and it was an amazing cause that everybody agrees with. So, but he said, I could never do that when I give my dissertation at the Sorbonne. But when you go and see a speech at Harvard, you have the joke and the whole thing, the humor and all that. It's very light. At the Sorbonne, it's not light. Mm. So that's what he meant. It's so American. It's like you have become American, but it was not negative at all.
Right.
All right. Well, I think this has been a fantastic conversation with you about knowing thy culture. I think we covered some good information in the article itself.
Can I add something?
Yeah, you sure can.
Also, in this conversation, I want to say that we also generalized about Americans. There's a myriad of cultures, subcultures in this country. And we just talked about the main dominant culture, mm-hmm. mainstream dominant culture. So that's very important to also say.
Great. For some more information on this event, if any of our listeners are interested, be sure to turn to the October 2009 edition of the Toastmasters magazine. And once again, the article is Know Thy Culture by Florence Ferreira. Well, thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm honored.
All right. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
If you heard our sponsor message at the beginning of this podcast, you might be wondering, what is this PowerPoint karaoke thing all about? PowerPoint karaoke is a fun way to practice improv speaking skills and poke a little fun at PowerPoint abusers in the process by presenting slides to the audience that you have never seen before. Amation is sponsoring this PowerPoint karaoke contest and will send a special PowerPoint karaoke starter kit to any Toastmaster who wants to host an event. Videos of the PowerPoint presentations will be voted on and will be eligible for the national grand prizes of up to $5,000 in cash. Events must take place before October 31st in order to qualify for the national contest. For details and to sign up as a host for one of these events, visit PowerPointKaraoke2009.com. All right, that is a show for today. If you do have any listener feedback on this episode or any other episode, we would love to hear it. You could contact us in many different ways. The first way is just to send an email to podcast@toastmasters.org.
Or you could call our listener feedback voicemail line at 1-888-451-8862.
And you have 2 minutes to leave a message on the voicemail line. Or you could contact us via Twitter, twitter.com/theTMPodcast. Or, of course, you could go to ToastmastersPodcast.com and post on our blogs. We'd love to hear from you. I'm Bo Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Take care, everybody. Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.